John chapter 9, and let's read verse 1 through verse 12, and then we'll read a couple more verses in the further part, remainder of the chapter. Verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they, which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Pretty much what they're saying, we can't figure out who this fella is. Something's happened to him. That's what's been going on around here during the service. Testimonies. Something happened. And the Bible says this in verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Now look in verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened my eyes. You can be seated. You can be seated. Our Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for all you're doing in the service and in our heart. Dear God, we stand before you, Lord, just so blessed. Thank you so much for the testimonies, and the good, sweet spirit tonight in the service. Thank you so much for the church, Lord, how we love the church. Thank you so much for what it's meant to us through the years. And Lord, I'm so glad we have it to come back to time and again. Thank you so much for the steadfastness and the faithfulness of my pastor. Thank you for him staying true when things got low and things got tough. And dear Lord, I know today many times, Lord, he's been discouraged. But dear God, I'm thanking you right now, God, that you encouraged him and you helped him. Lord, please now, God, help us to do that what's needed, say that what's needed to be said. You may be magnified. You get all the glory, God. And Father, I pray that you speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, my heart got stirred about this. And right before prayer time. This is not even close to what I thought I was going to be preaching. Not even close. But through all the testimonies, one thing I found out since I got born again, and I like what Brother Barry said, that means something. It's not just words. When I got born again, I found out, and that was in 1995, in this church, I found out along the journey, many folks that we've met, many folks we've heard testify, many folks that give testimony of, of the saving grace of God. Amen. Everyone, listen, has about the same testimony if you'll hear it. Maybe a different place, a different experience, things like that. And I'll say, you know what? That's real. That's real, and it bears witness to my heart. Amen. But I've been deeply troubled for a long time about so-called professions of this hour and day. My heart is by no means to sow any seeds of doubt in anybody's mind. But there is a definite problem today when it comes to conversions. There's something very, very, very wrong in modern day salvation, if you want to say. Something is missing. I believe we're all aware of that. I remember a long time ago when I began to see it happen. And I remember talking to Brother Barry about it. I said, I don't understand what I'm seeing, that people says they get saved and they seem to shed the tears and they seem to even say it with their mouth, give testimony of it. But it just don't seem like it don't last any time down the road, and something happened. And I'm not talking about they're living to keep it. We're not doing that. But the only thing I can say is when I came in this church in 1995, I was a lost man. I was, listen, and I don't brag on this, but I'm going to give my testimony. I was a drunkard. I was just a drunkard. But listen, drinking wasn't going to send me to hell. Amen. Rejecting Christ. I was a lost sinner. But I was a drunkard. I'd sit on them bar stools and waste my life with all that. I had a family and lived over here in Hawkins County back in Butcher's Valley and just lived an old, rough, sinful life. I was just an old sinner. Two little children. We lived in that old house up there. And anyway, someone invited my wife to come. So we came down here at the church in 95. And anyway, I can remember the first message he preached. I remember he preached on being controlled by feelings. That was the very first message. And I can still remember that. I can't remember yesterday, but I can remember that. But I do remember that, I mean, distinctly when he preached. And I'd been in church, and I'm just giving you my testimony for a minute. I've been in church through my childhood. I'd heard preaching. I won't throw anything towards those preachers. They were preaching, but God had me in the place at the right time. Amen. Under the right preacher. Amen. In the right place. I believe that. Now, you can get saved anytime, anywhere under the truth of the preaching of the gospel. I believe that. But God had me in that place. But you know what? I came in here in 1995, and I was rough. I looked at some of them pictures, and I think they shouldn't even let me in the church. We were rough. I wasn't as rough as Brother Randy was, but I was rough. Amen. I mean, I was a little bit hippie-fied, but he was full-blown hippie. Amen. Brother Randy was hippie all the way. He wore a peace sign around his... No, I'm just joking. But I want to tell you, Brother Randy, look what God has done for you. You're still sitting in the house of God. Here's your family and your daughter standing up to testify. You know what? I say praise God for you talking about fruit that remains, preacher. But anyway, we came in here, and I've done had that little religious stuff in my life, and I made a little trip to the altar one time. They told me I needed to do that, and I did, and came down to the altar and did just what they told me to do. I didn't have nothing going on the inside. I had no sort of conversation with God, no conviction, no anything took place. And I got up, everybody told me I was saved, and they baptized me. And listen, I would have fought you if you'd have told me I wasn't saved. Because I'd done something that I thought merited salvation. And I lived that lie for a long time. And I came into this church. I even told Brother Barry, the pastor, when we first come, I'm saved. And he didn't know. He only knew by the words that I told him. But he began to preach the Word of God. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to my heart and get a hold of my heart. And I knew something was wrong when I came in and I got exposed to folks that knew something about worship, amen, and about God. And I got here and I said, they've got something I don't have. And then God kept dealing my heart about my sin and about my condition. And I'd go home and open up the refrigerator door. I've told this 100 times or more. I'd pull the bottom drawer out and I'd pull that alcohol out of the drawer, go up on the hill by the crabapple tree at the barbed wire fence, open them and pour them out and say, I'm not doing this anymore. And then I'd go back down here at the church. And then I'd go back out to the store and put it back in the refrigerator. And I did that over and over. I don't know how many times I did that over and over. And then sitting on the fifth pew, of course, there was another pew, unless y'all put it in, okay, there was another pew, and I was sitting on the fifth, so it'd be one, two, three. I'd be sitting right there beside where you are, Gerald, right on the end right there. One Sunday morning, God showed me I was lost. And I got so scared. God had been dealing with me anyhow, but he made that clear to me that morning. I was so scared, honestly. I was under such conviction, I thought, I'm going to die unless I get some relief. And that's where I was at. Brother Ivan's talking about coming to the place being sick of it. And I got sick of that. And God began to speak to my heart, show me I was lost. And I wanted to be saved. And I remember going home, walking across the backyard of that old yard up right at that house. And I'd look up and I'd say, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life. I can take you to the spot. I dug a drainage ditch down the back of that yard when it rained, it'd flood. And I got about that ditch, and it just hit me. There's got to be more to life than this. And we kept on coming. But that Sunday morning, God got a hold of me. And I don't know if anybody knew it or not, but God, it's between me and God. I don't even remember what the preacher was preaching now that morning. But I just know God was speaking to me. And I tell you what I did. I came down that Sunday morning, and I don't even think it's anybody else in the altar. They might have been. There was a communion table here, and I bowed in front of the communion table, and I said these words. You won't find this on the back of a tract. You won't find this in some sort of sinner's prayer now. Don't you get upset with me. This is what went on in my heart. I said, Lord, I'm sick of this. Those are the first words out of my mouth. Lord, I'm sick of this. And then I remember saying this, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I said, Lord, the third thing I remember, Lord, right now I accept you as my Savior. And I remember the last thing I said in this prayer, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. I said, I'll do whatever. And you know what I thought about this? Nobody had to tell me to call him Lord. You know why I was calling him Lord? He done broke my will when I left that pew. Amen. I done made up my mind. I wanted him to be the Lord, Brother Travis, and him being my master. Nobody had to force me to call him Lord. Amen. God done that. I believe God saved me when I said yes in my heart right there. And he became my Lord and my master, my controller, you see. And I'm here today because of the grace of God, and God saved me. But you know what? God opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. And today it seems like so many folks, there's something wrong. They say, I got saved once upon a time, but something happened. I don't know anybody's heart, but something's just different. I mean, what happened? This man in John chapter 9, he said something, and this is the thought that God put on my heart. He said something, and notice here verse 25, here's what he said. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Notice these next few words. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And this is the thought I believe God would have me to preach tonight on that. There is one thing you ought to know. There is just one thing in this life that only means anything that you ought to know. I mean, you could have the highest degree that could ever be given. Hey, look, you could have a great IQ, a great intellect, and knowing all the books and knowledge that this world has to offer. You could have all sort of college degrees and schooling and all that, but if you don't know that you're born again, amen, listen, you don't know much. There's one thing that I believe everybody needs to get a hold of. There's one thing that I need to know. And I believe you can know it. Have you heard the testimony? I'd hate to have a salvation that I didn't know I had. I'd hate to have a salvation that I doubted. Paul said this. This one thing I know, he said, for whom I have believed and persuaded. That's why he said, and persuaded. Persuaded, did you see that? That committed, amen, unto him against that day. And I believe first John, I believe it says this, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, I got something that I know. Amen. Listen, I don't know a whole lot. You can probably tell by the way I talk. I'm not very educated. Amen. And Brother Barry, I ain't been preaching as long as you. Be 20 years this March. I still don't know just a thimbleful, but I know one thing. Listen, I know when I got saved. And this one thing I do know, that he opened up my eyes and my understanding. Hey, listen, my mind was darkened. I couldn't understand until he shined the gospel light in and he opened up my eyes. And I stand before you tonight, this one thing I know, I can't tell you a whole lot about a lot of things, but this one thing I know, sister, is that God done a work in me that morning, amen. And listen, only thing I know is God saved me and he made a new creature out of me. Who had ever thought when I said in the altar, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, that one day he'd call me to preach, Brother Barry. Who'd ever know that one day I'd be down in the basement of this church in that prayer room we used to go to, calling on God and surrendering to preach. Amen. Who'd ever know what God would do? Hey, listen, but listen, if I forget anything about preaching, amen, if I forget anything about what I've read in the Bible, if I forget any of the teaching, the doctrines that I've learned through the years, I believe with all my heart, amen, this one thing I can say that I know, I'll never forget that he came on the inside, and I know he's still in there, amen. And I know he saved me. There's one thing that everybody ought to know. And this question that he answered are still arising today. Over and over the question kept coming to him. Through the ages, men are still asking the question. And listen, it was what Jesus did to this man that so changed his life that people wanted to know what happened to him. Wow. There was a dramatic change. I believe that. Now listen, I know we believe in progressive sanctification. We believe growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the Word. They may grow thereby, and we've got to learn. But I do know this. Listen, I never had another desire for another drop of alcohol, brother, after God saved me. Nobody had to teach me to stop drinking. What about that? God done something inside of me. Amen. See, I believe this. We are partakers of his divine nature, is what Peter, I believe, said. And listen, when you get saved, Jesus Christ comes inside through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, the old man's still there. Can we all say amen? Brother Barry testified with that. We still bow with the old man, but thank God the new man's still in there. He's the one who's given us those desires to want to live for him and live for him and do the things that God is pleased with. Amen. It's not man-made works, because I done tried pouring that. It wouldn't work. You understand? But when God saved me, amen, I became a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 came a brand new creature in Christ. And amen, God put a new desire. Has God ever changed your desire? First thing, I believe he'll give you a desire for the Word of God. And so I'm just giving you testimony right now. But what Jesus did for this blind man was not only giving him sight, but he gave him salvation. You'll see this through the chapter. Notice verse 10. I'm going to show you some things and we'll try it by the Lord. Verse 10, this one thing everybody ought to know. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? Somebody wanted to know how. In verse 15, Brother Ivan, you were just talking about that a minute ago. Verse 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. Notice that right there. The Pharisees wanted to know. Somebody wanted to know. Verse 19, notice this. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then, notice that, how then doth he now see? Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? They wanted to know how this had happened to him. But they weren't interested in who. Now I'm getting ready to get somewhere in a minute. Get a little sticky. Y'all bail me out now. But I think I know what's one of the problems today we're having. When's the last time anybody asked you that question? How did this happen to you? But they really didn't want to know who. They want to know more about how than they did who. And they wanted to know about a lot of things, but they needed to know this one thing that the blind man testified of, or the one who now sees. So I want to say to you this real quick, that there's one thing that everybody ought to know. You see, Brother Barry, what I studied on today, I felt like was Jubilee preaching. I don't know, but it seemed like the farther I go, the more serious souls become, you know, opportunities to be able to preach to the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And so here I want to say some things about there's one thing that everybody ought to know. This one thing I know. The first thing I want you to see with me, verse 1 through verse 3, we'll read it. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Amen. Now look in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? Lord, that I might believe on him." Did you see that? Notice this. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And the first thing I see right here, there's one thing you ought to know, or one thing everybody ought to know. He knew it was Jesus because of his trust and not his toil. His trust and not his toil. What do you mean, preacher? Because the Bible says in John 9, and notice this right here, in verse number 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Did you see that? And God has got a work he's going to do inside of this man that's going to so change. Now understand, he has a physical ailment. He's blind, you understand? And during those days, many times things come upon people because of the sin in their life. And that was the question about his eyes being blind. Who did sin? And that was the question. But he turned and said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents," speaking of his blind condition, "but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And now he knew this, that whatever happened to him, listen, it wasn't by his own works that came about. Somebody else did it to him and did it for him. And he experienced Jesus through an inward work. Have you ever experienced him through an inward work? That notice this, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Not just on him, but in him. We'll see the works of God on him when he took the clay and anointed his eyes and took the spindle and told him to go to wash down the pool of Siloam. And we see the works that was performed on him. But he said about the works being performed manifest in him. Have you ever had a work in you? I mean in you. Oh yeah, I told Brother Ivan, I told a church the other day, I said I didn't get whitewashed, I got washed white. Or I didn't get whitewashed, I got blood washed. How about that? And see, that's an inward cleansing, an inward work. It's not by works of not by works of righteousness we have done, but by the renewing of the Holy Ghost is what it says. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration's on the inside. Y'all pray for me. I'm nervous. But you know, he had something here he could testify that This one thing I know. See, notice that. This one thing I know. One thing I know. And it was not by something that he had done. A lot of people make a trip to the altar. I hear people say this. I remember when you saved me, preacher. I've heard that a lot. I remember when you baptized me. I remember when I walked down front and took a 6-foot icicle hand. Amen. And no conviction, no power, no working of regeneration within the man or woman or boy or girl. Amen. And they walk out and we shake their hand and we say, look, this is brother so-and-so or this is sister so-and-so. They go right back out into the world with no new nature, no new desires, no new nothing on the inside. And they continue right on in sin. And I'll say, we have got to somehow get the message across to people when it comes to deception. Amen. Because there's a lot of folks, I believe, that's just deceived in religion. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Matthew 7. But it's one thing he didn't know. He knew it was Jesus because of his trust and not his toil. Number 2, verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it being convicted by... Well, let me get to my verse here. Look here in verse 8. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. But this one thing everybody ought to know is what you got something that you've done or what Jesus did. Is it just outward or is it something happening on the inside? He knew it was not because of the toil of himself. He knew it was because of his trust. Number 2, he knew it was Jesus by his testimony. Here it is, not his technique. Now this might get a little quiet here. There's a thing today we call, and I've heard it called, it's called the technique catastrophe. Technique, preacher. I believe in getting saved the Bible way. Now listen to me now. What did Paul preach in Acts 20:21? We're supposed to follow Paul's church epistles and the preaching of Paul. We understand Paul's message was this in Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The techniques of today excludes repentance. It's going to get quiet. And repentance, I believe, Jesus preached repentance, Luke 13. John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance, amen. And he said, "Except you, Luke 13, except you repent, nay, except you repent, he shall all likewise perish. Peter said, he's not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance, amen. You know what? Repentance is not a work. It's a work of God through conviction. Conviction brings that one sinner to that place of repentance. That's what conviction does. Conviction, this is the Spirit of God come to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment because they believe not on me. And the word reprove means to convince or to convict. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost, amen. That opens our eyes, shows us we're lost, shows us we're condemned, shows us we're going to hell, amen. And that Jesus is the Savior, none other, amen. And through the working of the Holy Ghost, conviction, amen, showing us we have to come to the place of honesty, amen. Really, I agree with God. I take sides with God against myself, and when I come to God, amen, I am actually repenting, turning from and turning to God in all and everything. And I didn't say confessing all my sins. because I don't even know all my sins. But I do know one thing, that if you've never came to the place of Holy Ghost conviction, you probably never come to the place of salvation repentance. Because see, that conviction brings a sinner to a place of being sick of it. I'm tired of sin. I don't want it no more. I wish I could get rid of it. You can take all the medicines that you want, amen, out there in the pharmacy, and you can put it on and rub it on, but it won't get rid of the inward problem, amen. And it's a sin problem. It's on the inside, and it takes the work on the inside of the Holy Ghost of God to open up our blinded minds and show us where we stand, that we're broken God's law, that we're transgressors against God, amen. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Amen. And thank God our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, comes to fulfill all righteousness. And through Him, He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way but coming to Jesus, amen, He'll save you. But it first takes an eye-opener through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And it brings us to that place of making a conscious choice, if you want to say, I want to be careful on decision, but we do come to the place of saying yes to God, no to me, no to everything else, a no to my life. And listen, by doing that, you're coming to Him in brokenhearted repentance, amen, and God will do the work of regeneration. And that's the Bible way of getting saved, amen. It's not one, two, three, repeat after me. Amen. See, it don't work. And here's what's happened. This is where I'll need y'all to bail me out. Huge churches that's become so numerical mindset that now has a high place in the church world. If them numbers drop and their big name, it's not going to look good on them. And so we're playing around, or I'm not, people are playing around with the souls of people to stick a feather in the hat or a number on the board or to put it in the paper that we had so many baptized. You say, you're preaching like you're mad. You better believe it, because I got kind of swayed toward that way for a little while. God had opened my eyes. And for every night in old-fashioned camp meeting, every night I was walking that sawdust trail repenting. God was showing me the error of my way. That salvation is not in a technique. Salvation's in the Lord. Amen. Now, preacher, now you're confusing me now. Well, when I got saved down here, and I know I'm saved, it's as sure as I'm standing before you. When I got saved, Brother Barry, I could have called Brother Barry down to pray with me, and he would have gladly done it. He wouldn't have misled me at all. But you know what? I didn't have one soul in the altar with me that night or that morning when I got saved. I didn't need anybody. I understand there's a few Ethiopian eunuchs spread around everywhere. Out of Philip in Acts chapter 8. Not in the Bible Belt. Please don't tell me in the Bible Belt people don't know something about the Lord. They've heard of Jesus. Most people knows a little bit about His birth at Christmas, His resurrection at Easter. Somebody in the Bible Belt, most people, has heard the name of Jesus. I didn't have to have anybody. Because here's what happens. If we're not careful, we'll get people in the altar and try to convince them they're lost when they should have been convinced before they come to the altar. Or on their way, anyhow. And see, what we do, we take a bunch of scriptures, which is truth, but if the truth of the preaching has already penetrated them or been given to them, maybe as a child, the seed's been sown through Bible school, Sunday school. See, all right, I preach this way. Preach, I'm not in a high gear. I'm just preaching my heart. Amen. It could have been sown in the early life, somewhere in there, and God begins to work that seed. See, it's incorruptible seed. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God begins to work. And we call that germination process. It goes through the process. And next thing you know, the seed's been planted. The Spirit of God opens up your eyes because the seed's been planted. Amen. It could have been anybody through a preacher about years ago through the preaching that you just heard. And so what we do, sometimes we get people to the altar and try to take them to Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:13, and Romans wrote and all these techniques, listen to me, I'm preaching my heart, all these techniques, we're trying to convince some poor sinner to agree, listen, agree and have some mental assent to the truth, that they agree with the Scriptures, and by believing the Scriptures they can have salvation. The Bible's not your salvation, Jesus is. The one who the Bible points out and shows us is the Savior. I believed the Bible before I got saved. Did you? I believed in God before I got saved. I believed Jesus died on the cross before I got saved. I believed He rose from the grave. But I believed this stuff before I got saved, but that didn't give me salvation. You see, too much head knowledge stuff today. Listen, it's what's happened today in so many places, I believe. And therefore, it's just a mental assent to the truth. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. But see, I just want to say, I'm not trying to make you doubt, but I'm so burdened tonight. I'm so burdened. When I heard the testimonies, I thought, you know what? What happened? What happened? What happened? You hear the testimonies frequently. God saved me. God changed me. God did this. And you know what? You're going to call me a Calvinist when I say I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I'm not persevering to be saved because I am saved. And how am I keeping on in perseverance? Not because of my own works, but because of the one in me working. Amen. 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 Hey, listen, you've said it 100 times, if not more. God works it in, we work it out. And listen, if you have nothing working on the inside, there's no power. Listen, you go out there all day long, try to get that car to move, get it to go where you want to, try to get it to do right and drive right and stay within, out of the ditch. Listen, that's the problem we got there. We're trying to get people to stay out of the ditch of life in this world and sin, and they've never had no power on the inside to be able to stay straight. And I'm not saying we don't sin. If you do, you're a liar. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. 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 But I don't want to get off in the ditch, and I don't want to sway and wobble on the shaft. I don't want to mess up my testimony. That's the desire God puts in you. I want to do it. Paul said that in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would do, that I do not. He had a desire, but sometimes he knew the weakness of his flesh. He said, I put no confidence in it. Oh, wretched man that I am. And he knew, listen, on that day, on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Oh, ain't it amazing how many times we go back to him and call him Lord? The Lord showed up on that road to Damascus, and the first thing he said, Lord, what would that have me to do? Amen. Lord. But even in his Christian life, he knew he still had the weakness of the flesh. He still can veer off and do, but he didn't want to. Anybody here says, I like sin, I like to do it, and I want to do it, you mark her down, you need to get born again.
Right.
See, it's more than a technique. Here's what they wanted to know. Notice this with me, all right? Now bear with me. Let me see if I can find this right here. They were asking him, verse 29, notice this right here. The Bible says, we know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the Jews were wanting a testimony because in verse 29, they said, we know. And they're saying that they must see by this man right here of what has been done to him that Jesus is, we call and say, he is the God-man who was sent from the Father. But they knew the Word of God. They knew Moses and the law. They could probably quote it every bit. You see, it's more than knowing the Bible. And they knew Moses. They knew the law. They knew the writings of Moses. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And all through the Levitical laws. And they knew all about what happened on Passover in Exodus 12. And they knew all about the law of Moses. But see, they did not know Jesus. I know a preacher now that he said he read his Bible through 3 times before he even got saved. And how many saved people that says they're saved has never read it through once?
Right, brother.
You say, you're being hard, preacher. No wonder Preacher Heracli don't have you back any sooner. No. I love you, but see, this is my home church. Some of you folks I don't even know. But I tell you, I love you. And Jesus loves your soul. And you'll get the truth if you stay here. If you get one in places, it's all about a technique. All about a technique. You listen to me, all about a technique. You might repeat a prayer. You might go down a road. But you better make sure that you've had an encounter with the Holy Ghost of God. You better make sure that God came by, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, came by where you were and spoke to you and made it real to you. Amen. That's what we call the old time way. And that old time conviction don't make you walk. I used to hate it. I'd preach, and I remember one old fella, and he finally did get saved. But I remember one old fella, he'd hang on to that pew, and he'd get them white knuckles. I remember him, and his name was Benny Bryant. And he'd walk out of the church, he'd say, boy, it's good today preaching, as lost as can be. Boy, it's a good service today preaching. Boy, he's just lost. I didn't tell him this. I didn't want to discourage him from not coming back. I thought, that's not what I want to hear. I like for him to say, preacher, I'm miserable. Preacher, I can't take no more of this. Preacher, I just don't know if I can handle any more of this. And I don't know why. All he got to do is just quit coming back. But see, once he gets you on the hook, he starts reeling you in. You got to get back down there to get some real. You know where you got to go to get your help? Amen. Only Jesus can give you the help. And they ain't giving you Jesus out in the world. You got to go to the house of God. That old time preacher man had to get up there and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the only way of escape from hell. And next thing you know, say, well, I don't want to go back down there. It don't feel good, but I know if I don't, I ain't going to get no help. And he'd leave out talking about his. How good it was. Lost. Then he got lung cancer. He go to hospital. I'm meddling right now, again. But he go to hospital to visit him. They start cutting pieces of his lung out. And tucking pieces of his lung out. He got that lung cancer. The only reason he came to church, he promised me he'd come one day. And his mama died and I preached his funeral at the church. And that's how he came. And he came and God got a hold of him. He kept coming. He kept taking that lung out. I go over there, Benny, you know your law? You know you need to be saved? Yeah, I know, preacher. He wouldn't nothing move him. And one day they called me. He's laying in the bed, and they called in hospice. And I went up there to the house, and I walked back there in the back room. I'll never forget walking down the hallway, and he's the last room on the left in his house. And he's laying there in the bed, alert, talking. He's aware of everything that's going on. He's not confused. He's not medicated. He's just laying there. And they done took all the lungs they can. And he's just, his day's short. All his family's gathered around him. Everybody's around him there. We're all talking. And the Lord told me what to say when I got there. And before I got there, I walked back there and a bunch of family. I said, would y'all mind stepping out for a little bit? And they stepped out and I walked over there. Benny was laying there. He said, hey, preacher. I said, how you doing, Benny? He said, I remember what he said. I ain't doing too good, preacher. I said, I know, Benny. And I said, Benny, again, I'll tell you, you know you're not saved. Then he said this, I know, preacher, but I want to be. Never heard that before out of him. But I've never heard it. Who created that want to be? Now, by no means do I any way at all say this deathbed salvation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe 6:2, he said, for I have succored thee and accepted time. He said, now's the day of salvation, is what he said. And here he's laying on the bed. And he said, I want to be. I said, well, Benny, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you down a technique. No, I didn't. Because he's getting ready to leave out of here. This better be something more than just something I can walk out and say, Benny got saved. Look what I did. And he's laying there, and he says, preacher, I want to be. And he said, preacher, I'm not going to be around much longer, am I? And I said, no, Benny, not what to say. You're not. And I said, you know you're not saved. He said, but I want to be. I said, well, the only thing I know is I'm going to slip off over here in the corner and start praying for you. And if God's working on your heart, you need to call out to God. That's between you and God. And I go over there and start praying. I could hear him. Asking God, I'm crying out to God. And I got up, and I didn't have to say, now, Benny, now listen, I know this is hard on us preachers. Benny, now that you prayed, you know, let's read Romans 10:13. For whosoever, Benny, are you a whosoever? Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall we say? Now, what happened to you? And I could convince him to say, I'm saved. And I've been guilty of that. And so I said, Benny, I got up from prayer. I heard him over there praying. I did not know. Only thing, I got up and I walked over there to him. He said, preacher, I just got saved. Amen. I didn't have to say a word to him. Preacher, I just got saved. Amen. And I said, hey, everybody come back here. And I said, hey, everybody come. And I went out there and I said, everybody come back here. And they all come back down in the room. And I didn't say, Benny got saved. I didn't have to say a word. When they walked in the room, he said, guess what? I just got saved. And here's what he said, the next words. And nobody ought to go to hell. That's what he said, Brother Barry. Now, who put that in him? And it wasn't long after that. How long, Miss Kim? 1 week, he crossed over. I didn't coach him. I didn't tell him. I didn't give him a technique. It was the working of God. And he was the one to be able to say, this one thing I know. He was the one who told it. I didn't have to tell him. Amen. Oh, God, help us today to know this one thing I know, that Jesus saved me. And it wasn't by repeating something. And it's all right if you need some instruction and some guidance. It's all right. Some people need some guidance. But I'm not trusting in a prayer. Are you trusting in a prayer? I mean, a prayer alone won't save you. You can pray all the prayers. They're praying in religion today. You talked about it. I mean, those who don't even believe in our God, they're praying. People are praying everywhere. Praying won't get you to heaven, friend. It's getting born again, amen. And when he comes inside, amen, he'll make that real to you, and nobody's going to have to. And the worst thing I've found is to try to give somebody assurance. Because you'll convince them, and they'll go through life saying, well, that preacher said, I'm saved. And when they go through times, you know, they can start to doubt, well, I have to call the preacher up and find out if I'm saved. Preacher, why are you preaching this way? Brother Barry, I don't preach this way much. But I feel in my heart that somebody needs to hear this. I preached the other morning out of Luke 15 where the prodigal came to himself. As soon as he said he came to himself, he said, I'll go to my father. And I preached on what the prodigal had to come to before he could go to. And an old boy had been coming. And that Sunday morning, we was in the altar praying. God sent in visitors. We've been meeting at 10 o'clock praying, asking God to send in visitors. And he sent in that first visitor to answer prayer. He come in. Now, don't you roll your eyes at me. Come in with a pair of shorts on. Oh, I wouldn't let him in, preacher. He come in with a pair of shorts on, sat on the front pew. Here's what he said. First of all, my name's Mike. He said, can I sit in this service? I said, you're welcome in this service. He sat right over here. He sat right over here. And I preached. And I thought, he'll never be back. He came back next Sunday morning. Sat on the front pew and I preached. Came back the next Sunday and I believe he missed the next one. He said he had to work. I believe it might have been the fifth time that he came. He's sitting over there next to you, Miss Stella, that time. And I preached and God moved in. And I preached to the lost. I hadn't seen this in a long time. I'm going to give you this one more point and I'll close. But he come out of the pew and he come walking down the aisle and he was trembling. He was trembling. He fell down in the altar and I got down there with him. I didn't take my Bible. I mean, it's evident God's dealing with him. It's brought him to that place and now it's between him and God. So I got down there. I said, Mike, what did you come for? I need to be saved. I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here and pray. I said, it's between you and God. You need to cry out to God and ask God to save you. Mean business. He was crying out vocally, and his voice was trembling. You could hear it in the church. And he come back Sunday morning. He's come back again and again. And him come back to church is a pretty good sign. I don't know he's saved. I don't know his heart. I just know that something was going on between him and God. And if he was true and really and honest in his heart, turning to God and really meaning business, God does the work inside. It's not up to me to figure it out. Sometimes I can't even tell who's under conviction and who's not by what I see. But I guarantee there's something going on inside if there is. You can have a smile on your face this wide and be tore up on the inside. This is just, I'm just kind of talking, preaching. Bear with me. But it's real serious to me now. It's real serious. He evidenced Jesus, here it is, by an outward walk. I said a whole lot, so I want to go back and tell you what I preached. He experienced Jesus through an inward work. It wasn't a toil, it was a trust. Now he evidenced Jesus by an outward walk. He was saying this with his life and with his lips. Someone said, I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. I do. But I also believe through the preaching of the gospel and giving the gospel with the lips. Because I want to tell you something. I've seen some Christians in my young childhood. Listen, that still is a picture vivid. I mean, just plain in my mind of those old time saints that they had something at the church. I could see something in their daily life. I could see something, amen. And that had an influence on me that they have something that's real. I still believe in a changed life. Y'all believe in that? Come on now. I don't believe unless you have to be weaned off of liquor for 3 years when you get saved. Come on now. Quit smoking dope I got saved once upon a time, but still smoking dope and cussing and shacking up and doing all these things. God changes a person when they get saved. Amen. Some of you might not like that, but that's a fact. Ask Paul. He went out to go kill them Christians that day. He was on the road to Damascus. Amen. He went to go persecute them. Then he wound up being one of them persecuted. Any change ever, any evidence of a change? Come on now, is there any evidence? I didn't say you put on a suit, carry a Bible. I didn't say that. I mean an evidence of a change. When you're 100 miles or 1,000 miles away from everybody, is there someone on the inside of you, amen, when nobody's looking and the preacher's not looking and there's no phone calls telling you how to live, do you have somebody on the inside that helps you and people say, there's something different about them? Amen. Y'all gonna like this. I need bailed out on this. Me and Miss Kim, we love Charleston. And we love to go down to Charleston. And, we're that close to the ocean. It'd be a sin not to at least look at the ocean, wouldn't it? Drive that far down there. But, going out there to the ocean means you're probably going to have to walk out on some sand. People call it a beach. Y'all won't like this. So we try to go in times and seasons when it's not too bad. You men know what I'm talking about. You women do too. Nod your head. And so we went down there, and we wanted. She loves the ocean. It's amazing to see it. And so we walked down there at that wherever that place was we was at. We're walking down the beach, and Miss Kim's modest. She's got her dress on. Now that's out of place on the beach, preacher. And the preacher's way up there in Rogersville, he ain't going to know. And surely you won't run into any church members down there. I'll give you a good example on this in a minute. When we're down there walking across the beach, we walk down the ocean, love to hear them waves. I wouldn't want to be down there now, but see them waves and hear them waves. And, oh, this is beautiful. All of a sudden, here comes a guy through there. I mean, didn't have enough on to hide a hummingbird. And he says, get with it. Go get your bathing suits on. That's what he said. And you know what? That didn't bother us one bit. because that wasn't a conviction to him. I don't know the man's heart. I don't even know the man. Never had seen him again. You understand? But that was something to us that we wanted to evidence in our life that people could see there's something different about them. You say, I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, when I got saved here in 1995, I went back home to my little house up in Butcher's Valley. Amen. Started reading in that brown Bible, the Word of God. I was in there taking a shower one day. The kids come out, and the kids said, hey, Daddy, and they're just this tall. Come put my ball goal up on the barn. I went out there with my hammer and the nails and walked out of the house, listen, with just a pair of shorts on and no shirt. I ain't trying to paint you a visual. But Brother Barry, I walked across that backyard, and there's that ditch. The Lord knows my heart. That same ditch where I said there's got to be more life than this. I'm a child of God now, amen. I come to that ditch, and as sure as I'm standing before you, honestly, before you and before God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart back there in Hawkins County, back in the country where nobody's around. The Holy Ghost said, you ought not be out here like this.
Amen, brother.
I'm telling you the truth. And I came and I kept on walking. Well, you know, I'm arguing with God. I'm going to go nail the ball, go up. I'm going to run back in the house. And, you know, nobody's going to see me. And I'm walking across here. Holy Ghost, y'all not be out here looking like this. I remember it, Brother Ivan. I wouldn't listen. About that time, a car pulled up in the driveway. Brother Barry, I thought it was Brother Barry and Brother Michael Compton. He drove that little blue K-car, that blue K-car. And lo and behold, I'm up at the barn, half naked. Amen. Look down there. And there's two men sitting in a blue K car that looks like Brother Mike's way down there. And guess what? They have ties on. So what do you think is going through my mind? So go run to the barn. There you go. What do you think's running through? I mean, I can't make out who they are. I see the K car. It's blue. It's Brother Mike's. And I see two men in the front with ties on. I said, they've come up here to visit with us. And here went through my mind. I just got saved. Told everybody I got saved. I disobeyed God. Wouldn't listen to God. Now I'm going to have to go back down to the church and have to face Brother Barry and Brother Michael for being out there looking like that. Brother Barry, I'm telling you the truth. I'm a young Christian. And I wasn't thinking about lying to him. I was just going to face up. And I went up to Brother Michael. And I said, come to church. I knew it. It's going to be bad. I thought Brother Barry's going to clean my plow and all that stuff. I said, Brother Mike, how you doing this Sunday morning? How you doing, Brother Mike? You and Brother Barry up to the house the other day? He said, no, it wasn't us. Brother Barry, I said, well, hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Amen. Listen, he might have had to mar this vessel at that time, but I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away. Amen. I'm glad God showed mercy on me that day. Amen. I'm talking about evident. It's outward evidence. They're seeing. They're seeing outward evidence. What's wrong with an outward walk? What's wrong with outward evidence anymore? What's wrong with that? He evidenced Jesus by an outward walk. Not just with his lips, but with his life. It was more than a technique. It was a testimony. It was more than just a formality. It was more than that. It was a reality. And it meant something. And he said, Lord. I believe when you say Lord, we don't always obey him. I'm the first to say I don't always obey him, but I won't. He's my Lord. He's our Lord. Aren't you glad that he redeemed you from the hand of the enemy? Aren't you glad you're no longer captive to the God of this world? Now, here, the neighbors wanted to know. He told them Jesus, verses 10 through verse 11. The Pharisees wanted to know. He said it was him, verses 13 through verse 15. The Jews wanted to know, he said in verse 26 and 27, will you be his disciples? It was him. He was saying, you're asking me for a technique. I'm not able to give you a technique. I'm not able to explain this thing. But I have a reality, and that's the thing that really matters. And the last thing, there's one thing you ought to know. Look in verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now, this one thing he knew it was Jesus by his talk. Now listen, by his talk, not just his touch. A lot of people might get healed of something. And they say, I've heard them say this. I got saved one time. I was sick. I got saved one time. I was in a car wreck. They talk about how the Lord intervened and did something for them physically or whatever. But he said not only that, going on that avenue, right down that avenue, but also this touch. You can get in a service, in a church service. Glory falls. People get to shouting. The emotions go crazy. We are emotional creatures. I'm glad we are. The emotions get high. Tears start flowing. Next thing you know, I got saved. Because I got a little touch when I went to church. I enjoyed the Amazing Grace. Them young ladies sang, and it just touched my heart. And you know, the preacher's message just touched me. I enjoyed that. And you better be careful. You better be careful. Because just on the same ditch, if you have the technique, you have the emotionalism side of it also. If you're not careful, listen, you'll profess salvation. He's never spoke to you. That's the key. He knew that he talked to him. He knew that. He knew that. Notice this. He knew that it was by his talk, not just his touch. For in verse 37, he said, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Do you remember when he spoke to you in the tree stand, Brother Ivan? Or wherever? You remember where you were when he spoke to you? You know, the first thing he said to him, go wash. He told him to go. First thing he said to me was come. And you know, there's a time in everybody's life when you ought to have a time and a place that God spoke to your heart and you knew that this was more than mortal man's lips. You knew it was something on the inside, a voice not audible, a voice that you couldn't maybe make for first write down like you would on a notepad and say, well, he said this and he said that. But you knew that voice of drawing and come. And you knew that he spoke to you. Can you say, I know that he spoke to me? He knew it. I know it's light. And so now, he knows his voice. He knows his voice. And if you've ever heard him once, you'll never stop hearing him. He'll keep speaking to you after you're saved. And now he's elevated. Notice it's right this. He elevated Jesus with an upward worship now. The Bible says, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. What about the very first thing after he got saved? He worshiped. And some people has never worshiped. There's a difference in worship and praise. We know that. But some folks has never worshiped God. And you know why? First and foremost, probably a lot of people are not saved. But then those who are saved, they don't see the worth of worship. Worship from the old English word worth. Ship. What's Jesus worth to you? You and I were nothing, nobodies, sinners, going to hell, worthless drunkards and cussers and God haters and whatever. You might not have been some of these things. Can I say, you young people, it's never ever done anything like that. You're still nothing without Jesus. You're still a sinner without Jesus. You're still lost without Jesus. Amen. You don't have to do all these things to have a testimony of what I used to. I'm not going to throw mine away because I hear people try to cow you down when you start talking about what Jesus delivered me from. I'm not going to do that. But you don't have to have that testimony to stand up one day. Listen, so many scars, as much pain, and all sorts of heartache. You don't have to have that. But everybody without Jesus is worthless. Really, we're all worthless. But through the eyes of God, he sees something worth redeeming. And he shed his precious blood to redeem you and I. And now here you are, a trophy of God's grace. Just a worm was I, worthless, nobody going nowhere. And now here you are, worshiped. So, I'm going to stop, but... Do you know, when he came back into town, the neighbors started talking about it. He didn't have to wear a sign that says, I'm a Christian. I just met Jesus. They said, is this he? Some said he's like him. And he didn't go hide in a corner. He said, I'm he. And guess what? There's a new man in town that day. Glory to God. A new man in town. But you know, do you know you're saved? When Jesus came by, he passed by and saw him. He observed him. He went through that observation. The Lord saw him. He went through a transformation. The Lord changed him. Amen. And then he went into an identification. He's identified with Jesus. Are you identifying with Jesus?